every village is a different creative discipline. So, like, one village is wood carving, the next is stone carving, the next is jewelry making. And so, as a creative person, I live in a state of absolute awe and inspiration.
How long
every day? I started the business from the jungle to what it is today, which is we have 44 rooms, and 3 restaurants and a music venue and 4 yoga studios there. And so I started that in 2007, but I've only lived there full time since right before the pandemic. We were there when the pandemic hit and we ended up staying on. My son, the youngest son, Taj, he's basically grown up there and he speaks both Indonesian language and the Balinese language fluently, so we're pretty immersed there now.
Well, I'm glad you brought up your son, because I can't get "Be Who You Are" out of my head. So thanks for that. And I the emphasis on family, I've been looking at your stuff on your social media and stuff, is very crucial. My granddaughter just turned 2, you know, and so my family keeps...
Bill, congratulations, man. That's awesome.
So my question would be this, Michael, after so many years, you know, concerning yourself with the injustices and the humanitarian crises in the world, did you kind of come down to realize that really what it comes down to is love your family and love one another? Is this a change over time, or have you kind of always felt that way? There seems to be more of an emphasis on family.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a great observation, and the answer to that is yes. It all does come down to how we want our families to live and how we want to create happiness and joy. So there's like the big things of, like, you know, politics and the world and governments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then there's also the ways that we show up as individuals. And I grew up in a family that I was given up for adoption at birth. I was raised in a family where there was alcoholism, and I really didn't know how to be in family as I came out of the home life that I was raised in. And so it's, as an adult, I ran, you know, I ran to, you know, music was a place where I could pour my emotions into, but being in rock and roll in the 80s and 90s and now, and being in nightclubs and stuff, is a place of, you know, people trying to check out.
Yeah.
Through, you know, whatever, you know, the classic, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll. And so it's taken me a lot of years first of all, making mistakes, but secondly, of being able to show up for what it really means to be in family, what it means to have endured difficult family situations and learn to heal from them. And so I'm at a place now where most recently I lost both my biological mom and my adopted mom.
Yes, I read that, and condolences there. Yeah.
Yeah, within 2 months, and the funerals were 3 days apart. And now I'm about to welcome my first daughter into our family.
Oh, beautiful.
In June. And so there's just been a convergence of so many things in my life. And, you know, you probably heard that song, Break Up With Everything You Don't Need.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Came to me in the middle of the night. I was in Nashville, staying at a friend's house, and I just woke up in the middle of the night singing Break Up With Everything You Don't Need. And I was about last December, and it's been a mantra in my life lately of, like, what are the things in my life that are the great patterns that I built up of really, like, taking care of myself so that I can take care of my family, and what are the things in my life that are patterns that have just been there from early childhood to today that aren't serving me. You know, worry, the things that keep me up in the middle of the night, and that voice in my head that's there to, at one point when I was a kid, it was there to, you know, protect me, but now it's just a place that goes to the worst case scenario all the time. And how can I rewire that part of my brain and my life? And so that's just one little one, you know. And so I'm like at a place in my life where the music, my personal life, everything is really like converging in a beautiful and powerful way.
Did you have to get to be the age you are to come to this? I mean, you know, we all have these bumps and bruises from life. You know, I'm 66, right? And so, you know, I always considered that I was kind of an idiot until I was 40. You know, did it take, you know what I mean, brother? Did it take,
I think I was an idiot until I was 50.
Yeah. did it take this long? You know, I mean, do you look back and go, oh,
Sure, you know. You know, people say, oh, you know, no regrets, man, bro, you know, like, I don't regret anything in my life. And I'm like, I think regret is really important.
Mm.
I think looking back on life and going, man, I really fucked up that part of it.
Mm.
It is crucial to being able to grow and say, I want to be different. I wanna show up differently for my family, for the people that I love, for myself, for my personal health, for my relationship to spirituality, for my grandkids, to break a cycle of you know, family life that wasn't great. You know, like all these things like require like having regret, having remorse, and then being able to go, well, how can I work on this part? How can I show up differently? How can I be the person that I know is inside me, but that maybe is being blocked? You know, and you just said you're 66. When my dad was 66, he had a stroke. And up till that point, he had been, you know, he'd been an alcoholic my whole life.
Right.
But at 66, he had a stroke, and when he did, he blossomed into the most beautiful person. Wow. And he showed me that people can evolve, that people can change. And he became my hero. Like, he really, after being somebody who I avoided and didn't want to be around and had painful memories with, he suddenly became the most beautiful person. Sadly, he died 4 years later.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, it was 4 years, man. You know?
Yeah, I had those 4 years. And I want, I wanted more.
I hear that.
And I want to show up for my family in ways that I haven't. Alcohol wasn't my issue, but I had my other issues. So.
Okay, well, that's a good segue for me to look at the next thing on my notepad, which is the last time you and I talked. Here we go, 2009. I was working in Savannah then for the Alt Weekly there. This is a quote from you, okay, which I looked it up this morning. You say, if I don't write fun songs and make a show that's really interesting, that's really entertaining and exciting for people, nobody's going to care what I have to say. I mean, is that an ethos that still holds true?
I think the ethos for me that would be different is that I want to write and create songs that express the full rainbow of human emotion.
Yeah.
And yes, fun, joy, that's a big part of it, because people, when they go to concerts, they need that night out. They've been keeping that, you know, ticket in their drawer or on their file on their phone for 6 months, and they are ready to, like, enjoy life, let go of whatever's in their heart. And I think that joy is a huge part of it. But I also know that connecting with someone on a heart level so that whatever is in their heart can come out is how we actually find joy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't necessarily find joy just by listening to a happy song. Sometimes you find joy when you listen to, like, a deep Radiohead song that brings up powerful emotions for you, and then you put on, like, a, you know, a great Frankie Knuckles playlist of, you know, house music, and you let go, you know. And that's like the power of music, is that it's there for us through the full myriad of human emotion.
The thick and the thin.
Oh, yeah. All of it.
There's an awful lot nothing you don't know. There's an awful lot of chaos and dread in the world right now. So what's your advice for dealing with those feelings? I mean, it's not, you know, don't worry, be happy. What would you tell people? Like, how do you tune it out? How do you deal with it?
I wrote a song recently, and it's called Feeling is Healing. Feeling is healing. And, like, you gotta feel it. And it's, again, it's only something that I'm waking up to in recent years, but the healing happens when we actually go through the emotion, you know? And, like, people say, like I've heard this a lot because I just lost both my moms in the last couple months.
Yes.
People say, you know, it's good, you know, be strong. I got your back, you know. And be strong is often perceived as don't cry, when be strong is actually like to hold yourself in a space where your emotions can pass through you with ease, so you can have ease of heart. And it's like in yoga, I'm a yogi, so I relate a lot of things back to what I've learned there, but like we learn a lot about how to stand in a pose, like where to put your toes, where to put your feet is super subtle and super detailed to create the foot strength, the ankle strength, the leg strength, the knee strength, hip strength, all the way up to your back, to the crown of your head, so that your body is fully like supported, even just standing, so that then when you go into a pose where it's like you've got one leg up in the air and you're holding on to it and trying to create balance, like in a tree pose or something, where you have like this foundation so that you can be still in the turbulence and you can see what's going on inside you. And it's such, for me, it's such a metaphor for what strength really is. Strength isn't trying to just muscle through life and not experience emotion. Strength is to create like the foundations in your life so that you can be free to have ease of heart and find that freedom of cry when you need to, dance when you need to, laugh when you need to, and appreciate the subtle details. And like I said, I'm only learning that after 25 years of yoga and, you know, years of therapy and everything else to try to figure out who I am today.
And music is great for that too.
Absolutely.
I mean, if I was
it is the most beautiful way of connecting, because when I write, I only write from my place of deepest emotions, whether it is that experience of, you know, when I wrote the song Hands Up to the Sky, it was about like after my father died of COVID, my biological father died of COVID, and not being able to be with my family members because of the pandemic, and then going out and being on a dance floor for the first time after not being able to do that either, and suddenly the music washing through me, and you know, and I wrote a song about that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how I write today, is like, what is the deepest emotion? It could be either great elation and joy, like that moment was, but it was also layered with the nuance of sadness and grieving for loss. And that's how most things are in life. Like, it's very rare that we're just one emotion at one time. You know, we're always like a combination of emotions.
Yeah.
And music is the best way of experiencing those combinations of emotions. You know, film can do it, but sometimes you've got to watch a 2-hour film to get to to understand the backstory of everything to get to where you are. But you could put on for me, like, I love Miles Davis. I put on My Funny Valentine. I hear the first 3 notes of the piano, and I'm like, I'm already in it. I'm already emotionally there.
Listen, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck on the tour, brother, and we'll see you when you get here.
Thank you, Bill.
See you soon.
Take care. Have a great day, man.
You too, man. Thank you.